Hi, welcome to another in our periodic discussions here on Making Sense with authors and other economic dignitaries. And today we have with us Carl Richards, who's written a new book called The Behavior Gap. It's a really helpful, engaging, and graphic book about the essentials, the basics of personal investing. Carl Richards, welcome.
Thanks, Paul. Good to be here.
Don writes, I don't buy or sell. I'm in it for the long term. I think I've had dumb luck. I subscribe to the Wall Street Journal, but rarely look at the markets right now because they go up and down. Waste of time for me. I wonder if all the investment information out there is really necessary. Is it necessary, Carl?
Don's probably right. I think there's a very fine line between informed and anxious, and I think most of us have crossed it. And when we cross it, we start to make decisions that end up hurting us. So this well-intentioned behavior of trying to stay informed, we become anxious, we start trading more, and we all know trading leads to poor returns, and it ends up costing us. So not only do we lose a bunch of time, not only do we become anxious, it actually costs us money. And I think that's where the behavior gap actually originally happens, and that's this difference, the gap between what the average investment did and what you actually got. I have an account for 10 years and I've been in equity mutual funds for the whole 10 years, but I've switched my funds every couple of years. Chances are any one of the funds that I owned probably did better than my account did because I switched at the wrong time.
You know, this is true of lots of very, very sophisticated people that I know personally. It's not that they're uninformed, sort of inadvertently, they are too anxious to become informed.
Most of us grew up in a sort of a culture where money, sex, and politics were things we didn't talk about. Now, of course, maybe the politics thing has gone a little too far. Now we're pretty comfortable talking about politics, but we still haven't caught up on money. And so not only do we not know what an equity is, or what volatility is, or what asset allocation means, we also don't know how to place those decisions sort of in the emotional context that they have to be placed in as well.
Someone named Servos writes, okay, so we all need to know how to behave, but how do we learn how to save? How do we know we aren't paying too much for fees or for investment advice? Who do we go to when we don't trust anyone anymore?
Because we're so close to these decisions, I think there's some appeal to the idea of having an objective third party making sure we don't make dumb choices. The problem is, of course, finding that objective third party. I think there's some basic things I would ask. One, are you, how are you compensated?
Right. How do you get paid?
This is a different question than how do I get charged? And the reason that's important is you may pay one fee, and that may be only a portion of the person on the other side of the table's compensation. They may be getting paid by the products they use. They may be getting paid by the custodian. They may be going on training trips, quote unquote, educational trips with their spouse to the Caribbean. I mean, it's just important to say, help me understand exactly how you get paid.
You know, this strikes me as the problem with psychotherapists, well-meaning as they may be. They have a financial incentive to keep giving you advice as opposed to telling you what to do once and for all, roughly speaking, and then that would be the end of it. Same thing here, no?
I agree. And I struggle with this all the time. Nobody trusts anybody, and sort of rightly so, given what we've gone through. And so I think, I mean, maybe the easier way to start is to start asking friends. And I've been surprised at how little people do this. You know, who do you use? How long have you been there? How do you pay for it? Have you had this discussion? I totally believe in the value and the need for a good third party, objective third party, a good financial advisor, a good certified financial planner. I just recognize when I say that it's really hard to find one personally.
Well, let's leave it there for now, Carl Richards. We'll do this again soon, I certainly hope. Again, your book, The Behavior Gap, you've got a blog on the New York Times website, and thank you. Very, very much.
Thanks, Paul. It's been a pleasure. A lot of fun, really.